Mr. Cutlets, Mr. Cutlets, when you swing around that pork chop, I get a whiff of heaven every time you pass my doorstop. With the chicken and the brisket and the marrow and the giblets, Mr. Cutlets, spend some time with me. I know it's crazy, but it's true. It's not worth eating if it lacks the greasy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Josh Ozersky, Mr. Cutlets. I write about meat. I write for Time Magazine. I've got a video site called Ozersky.tv. And I do this show on the Heritage Radio Network, brought to you by the generosity of Fairway and all of the wonderful Fairway olive oils and the big, richly marbled steaks in the case. And the olives and cherry peppers and all the different kinds of cheese and the cheese selection. Anyway, so that brought us here, and I'm at Roberta's post-apocalyptic beer garden in Bushwick, New York. We just had some amazing testa with little greasy toasts. We had sweetbreads with a Benton's mayonnaise, and we got a pizza coming soon. And by we, I mean my two guests today. The always texting Akhtar Nawab, who you may remember from his numerous cameo appearances in restaurants and most memorably from El Ataria, his short-lived restaurant on 8th Street. I say this jokingly because I think that Akhtar is one of the most talented young chefs around, and it's only a matter of time until he finds the vehicle that he clearly deserves.
I'm glad it's joking because a lot of those stints or whatever they call them are actually, you know, they were there for a long time. You know, like EU was a cup of coffee, but I fulfilled my obligation. I was there for a year, you know, like that was the obligation, you know.
Well, it was
and
a job.
I was there while I was building my restaurant, and it was very commonly known, you know, like I have to work and...
Well, look at this pizza here.
That looks good.
You know... Akhtar is a working chef. That's something that I tried, and that's one of the reasons why, James, I invited you here tonight. It wasn't just to talk about the Bev Eggleston beef, which I'm also interested in and haven't tried yet, though I'm hoping to. But also because the guy that actually is in the kitchens, running the kitchens, working, not the chef restaurateur, not the chef partner, but the actual, you know, work-a-day kitchen operating functionary, I think is somebody that deserves more attention than they normally get in the food media. You know what I mean? Instead of the same six or seven, you know, people every... And I'm guilty of it myself, you know? Like, Platt always makes fun. Michael White, Michael White, Michael White. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah, you appreciate what he does. I mean, I get it.
No, but I appreciate also, like, Gordon Finn, who's his chef de cuisine at Alto. I call him Baby Chef because he stole Jason Hall's nickname. But
the OG Baby Chef. Yeah.
But I mean that nobody
Jason's
talks about
grown
that.
Up. He's all grown up now. So,
but Jason's another one that's done great work in his career, and absolutely. No one writes about, you know, Jason Hall's new restaurant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First, he was under the shadow of Michael, and now Mr. Spock over there. You know?
I think it's important, though. He is very... Jason, I mean, he's developing. You know what I mean? Like, he's... I mean, as all of us are. But he's cooking, and I think it's a matter of time before he really finds, you know, something where he can be that person who you're talking about. You know, like, you work every day. I work every day. It's never going to change.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll change.
I don't know if I really want it to.
Is that true, Akhtar? You don't look forward to being that sort of like the titular chef that shows up, kicks ass for a couple of hours, and then goes and suns himself by the poolside?
I've obviously, in various downtimes, given it some thought, and the answer is no.
Why not?
I prefer cooking. I prefer to cook. If I can make enough, you know, obviously dough is an important thing. You know, if I can make enough money to take care of whatever I need to and whatever responsibilities I have, and have enough to have some fun, then I think I'll be all right. You know, personally.
Yeah. What?
You know, I'm not. Obviously, I have, you know, aspirations for myself, but I don't necessarily need to be the person who has a shit ton of time by the pool. You know, like, I'd rather just take a vacation and do it.
I think you get possessive. It's hard to stay away for a certain point of time, and you're possessive of what's going on at the restaurant, you know, the day in, day out. So it's like, you know, how this person cooks artichokes, you know, like, I'm pretty possessive of, you know, how he's doing it. It'll drive you nuts after a certain point. If you're not there, and like you walk in the next day and the artichokes are all fucked up, you know.
Which they're bound to be.
Which it happens, you know, every week, you know, something's messed up because you're not there checking it out. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, I have kids and stuff. I try to like balance, but, you know, but I get very possessive myself, you know, like when I'm not there.
But what about the other thing that's interesting for me, though, is that when you're the chef de cuisine, I mean, you're creating many of the dishes, but the basic cooking is the executive chef, right? Like Gordon is channeling Mike White in much the way that, say, you know, Chris at La Bernardin is channeling the Ripper. Like, if, or maybe not, actually. Chris, and he really does a lot, but... Or, you know, what's another example of a chef de cuisine that, like, any of Scotty Conant's places, like, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kraft's set up a way that, you know, it's standardized, kind of like, this is the style that we're doing. You know, the style that Tom set up. I've worked with Tom for about 14 years now, off and on. So we stay in that parameter somewhat, and then we tweak it out, you know, day in and day out, of like what we find here, what we find there, and we bring it in, we do what we do.
But if you had your own restaurant, it might not be the same exact mood and vibe and flavor profile of, say, Kraft.
No, definitely wouldn't. You know, it's like Oktar, you know, he's developed all sorts of stuff throughout the years, and, you know, from his time at Kraft Bar, you know, he's changed up to all different types of styles, and, you know, there's always flavors that are like, oh, you know, wow, that's really nice. I want to work with that.
You know, I think that with Oktar, actually, and by the way, if you have any questions about Oktar, meat, James Tracy, Kraft, various other topics, Ozersky TV, whatever, feel free to call in the show at 718-497-2128. I repeat, 718-497-2128. What was I just saying before it occurred to me to put out that number?
Something about Oktar meat.
Yes, no, like... Oktar. Oktar's style and his repertoire is so eclectic, wide ranging, and global that in some ways it's almost worked against his interest. Like, you couldn't say, I need an Italian chef. I need somebody that does American rustic food. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't say it's worked against me, but I would say it's prevented. You know, prevented is even the wrong word, but it's you filter me out of certain things that I was, you know, in discussion about, you know, with various people. For sure, I think you're right.
You know, and then the other thing too is like, you know, a lot of guys get work because they just have their thing they do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you want, like, you know, I'm trying to think. One example. No, well, Jerry Halliva is an example. Jerry Halliva is an actor. He's a Palestinian actor that looks just like Saddam Hussein. And if you want Saddam Hussein in a movie, you call Jerry Halliva. I mean, he always has work. Any movie that has Saddam Hussein in it, it's right. Him. But that's not what Oktar is like.
I certainly hope not. Yeah. Fuck. I don't know where we're talking. I certainly hope not. I can only explain it like this. Like, I like different, you know, I'm influenced by a lot of things. I've been fortunate to travel to, you know, a decent
Detroit,
range of
Columbus.
Places. Yeah, I'm from Kentucky. I've been to the Appalachians. That's about it. Yeah.
Moonshine, love it.
Yeah, no, I've visited a moonshine distillery before. It was like going to a speed facility, whatever. I thought everything was combustible, but it's yeah.
Oktar's actually had a few glasses of moonshine prior to today's episode.
Yeah.
Speaking of, were you in the middle of a thought, or am I interrupting you?
No, never. Just.
I had well. I'm sorry if I do that. I know it's a vice.
I thought we were going to talk about fried quail for a second, but.
Well, your Kentucky Fried Quail. Yeah. Are you going to introduce that in taco form at La Esquina?
We're working on a quail dish.
Oktar is the chef at La Esquina now, the Mexican restaurant on Kenmare Street. That's becoming quite the area down there.
It's unbelievably busy. I mean, I was telling James beforehand.
You got White coming down there now, too. His meadery is going to be down there.
Great. Chef White, I mean, I've only met him a few times. He seems like a terrific guy. I've heard from people I know very well that he is actually a terrific guy. So I'm excited. Great.
I went to the place down there called Kenmare.
Yeah, how was that? I really want to go.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not as good as the Little Owl or Market Table. But
it is pretty new. I mean,
well, it's, you know, I mean, look, it's he consult Joey Campanaro from Little Owl consulted there and everything, but he's not there. You know, like
he's not spending time there right now.
I'm sure he's spending time there right now, but I mean, it's like he's, you know what I mean? Like if you go into the ABC at the Mark or whatever, like, you know, or the not.
I know what you mean.
Any of Vongo's restaurants, like, he's not there, standing there. He's at John George. But it's his food. In fact, you talked of all the people that really do that. He's the one that's got it really down to a science. Do you know that they measure all the recipes in the Vongo Richten group are measured in micrograms? Even the salt and everything.
Yeah. All the restaurants?
All of his
restaurants. All the spice markets.
No, spice markets, all of them. All the, all his concepts.
Well, this is, you know, like, I learned this actually working with Sandoval's group, was that it's a lot of those bigger companies have things. I mean, when I say bigger, I mean, like, John George or, you know, Chef John George or, you know, Chef Sandoval. Like, they really have a system in place for these recipes,
right? And a chef de cuisine's got to get with the program.
At those types of companies, yeah, I say you fucking. This is how it is, you know. Like, it is whether it's grams or micrograms or ounces or whatever, but the system is in place, and there's not just a recipe, but there's a picture. It's like a food card. It's called a food card. It's done on PowerPoint, and like it's a picture. And a recipe, and a methodology, and allergens, and I mean,
and it shows just what it's supposed to look like, and everything.
I mean, in theory, yeah.
Well,
you know, like I think things change over time.
I don't think so. Everything should always look the same.
Yeah,
I'm an essentialist in this way.
That now, quail never looked the fucking same.
Well, I know that, Oktar, but you know, I mean,
it's on a round plate or a square plate or.
Listen, glass. I would have been happy to eat it out of a trough.
You go eat it, Kraft's, dude.
All right, we're gonna get
the same, different place, different style, yeah. Whatever.
We're gonna get Oktar some coffee, walk him around a little bit, and take a break on the Mr. Cutlet Show. Please come back.
but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you see what I mean? Gotta get away, holy diver. Yeah. Got shiny diamonds like the eyes of a cat in the black.
Hi, this is Josh Ozersky, Mr. Cutlets, and this is the Mr. Cutlets Show on the Heritage Radio Network. You may be wondering why my signature musical theme of Microphone Fiend wasn't playing in the bumper. It's because I'm sorry to inform you, we just learned that Ronnie James Dio died at the age of 67. And like they always say, if there's a rock and roll heaven, I bet it's got a hell of a band.
He's going there.
All right, we can. I think we can turn down the. We could turn down the Ronnie James Dio now. I was never a big Dio guy, I have to admit. You know, I like the idea of Dio more than Dio. But anyway, God rest Ronnie James Dio, and make sure everyone goes out and buys the records for his in-laws and. No, he didn't. That's not what that is. Now, I'm here with Akhtar Nawab of La Esquina, which is now apparently back open, and James Tracy from Kraft. And I thought, you know, we would take a little bit of a break, a little change of direction here at the Mr. Cutlets Show, and talk a little bit about meat. I think that... there is a lot of heritage meats going around these days that I don't get to eat because it's only in one or two restaurants. Like, for example, James has got the Bev Eggleston Piedmontese beef at Kraft right now. Is that right?
Last week we did, yes.
Oh, you don't have it anymore. It's gone. You going to have it again?
I get like two a week.
See, I don't think it'll be good, but I'm willing to try and eat it.
I was skeptical, but it's good.
I went to Polino's. You know Polino's, Akhtar?
Of course,
Keith
yeah.
McNally's.
How was it?
Celebrated new pizza. Well, it's very good. You should get the Mr. Cutlets pizza.
Okay.
Which is a Bianco Tradizionale with pancetta and a pepperoni. Anyway, or he calls it salame picante, but it's pepperoni, really. Pepperoni to you. And he said, oh, I got a steak. You know, Nate Appleman was the chef there. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, I have a steak. I really want you to try the steak, you know. Grass-fed, boutique product. You know what I mean? Lovingly mm-hmm. tended, whatever.
Right,
right. I ate it. I said to him, I said, this was a wonderful meal, Nate. I said, but that steak has still got marks in it from where the jockey was hitting it.
And what was the, where's it from?
I don't know.
No.
The fact is, they would do well to take a page out of Mineta's book and go to an All Creekstone program, in my opinion. Nobody...
Mineta's great.
I've never had the really good grass-fed beef, but I'm still willing to keep trying. I don't have a closed mind.
It's definitely not my go-to steak, for sure, but, you know, it's at the restaurant, it's an option. You know, we also do... You know, regular aged sirloin plus
the standard sirloin. You guys have served when I was there. Was it great?
It's always good. It's always
good. Great. Yeah.
Is it the same steak that you would have gotten at Kraft Steak?
I think the sirloin is, yeah.
All right, so then we know that that's good. Now, also, I went to the restaurant called the Tipsy Parson, and they have got a small farm called Fudge Farm in Alabama that's supplying them with this pork. Wow, I mean, the pork, that's a really remarkable animal. You know what I mean? When you get an like something like that, that's like...
I'm intrigued simply by the farm name.
It's good. Mm-hmm. The bacon was good too. She had big pieces of slab bacon, and this is Julie, the chef, had a loin chop, which is sometimes called the pork porterhouse or whatever.
The porterhouse chop, the T-bone.
Right, the T-bone.
I like that a lot.
Right, that's a loin chop.
I like that.
That's better than the rib, I think.
Well,
I think it's a very good. I was again actually from La Freda for a long time at El Atari. I thought it was great.
Well, I liked a rib chop better, but in this restaurant, the T-bone is much better. But I think it's more because the T-bone is sautéed.
They brine it and the whole deal.
Brine it and then they sauté it. Well, I don't know what
instead
people...
Instead of what?
Instead of throwing it on a grill that, like, she's got the big rib chop, too.
Right. No, we used to roast ours and it was, you know, I thought it was great. You know, butter, oil, some herbs.
That's what you want. That's what you want great. On a chop.
Yeah, you want the sear.
I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's why I hate a veal rack, I hate a lamb rack, prime rib, any of those kind of things that is just an expanse of unbrowned white fat and pink flesh or red flesh, whatever. Crunchy fat, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, crispy.
Now, and then I had a terrific meal at Chesco. So I've been eating a lot of meals. That one didn't have a specialty meat, per se.
No, he's very known for that pork chop up there.
Who, Kevin Garcia?
Yes.
Well, it's probably the Stonewall pork from Cesare, right?
I'm not sure where it's from. But I've had it before, and it's very good. And the way he does it is very good.
Which is what?
I don't know the temperature and the temperature log that he uses, but he puts it in this oven called a CVAP oven. you familiar with that?
I am indeed.
Okay, so a good friend of mine, you know, is the dealer for those ovens in New York City, and... I know he puts it in there until it's like 100 and, I don't know, 10 degrees or 20 degrees, and then he finishes it on the stove, brings it up 20 more degrees. And it's really good the way he does it. Very tasty. What's he serving it with?
The beans, Cesare's beans, the Tuscan beans. Right. And there was some kind of another vegetable there, too. You'll have to...
Push it off to the side.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was green, whatever. It had soaked in pork fat, thereby losing its own flavor and getting something better. But have you guys had anything, especially with some of your peers generationally, that people don't know about? I mean, everybody knows about the same restaurants, the same big chefs and everything. I mean, is there anybody that you think, you know, sort of like I think Harold Dearly is like one of those guys. No one talks about his food, but like the guy's really cooking well. Kevin Garcia is another one. Is there any, do you guys have any, have you eaten anything good or have any friends or peers that are doing anything interesting you think people should know about?
Although this is a very well-known restaurant because of who the chef is, kind of, you know, like Chef Mario owns, you know, Chef Mario Batali owns his restaurant Lupa, but Cruz is doing all the cooking. Cruz Goller, I don't know if you know Cruz at all. He buys a lot from Heritage Foods and like Green Market, all that stuff, but I think the stuff he does over there is great. I mean, like, he does a great job.
That's the thing, like, people, Lupa, like, every, you know, just like Chesca.
It's busy, no matter what.
It's busy, yeah. But it's people, no one busy. Talks about it anymore.
I mean, I think it's so well established, and it's always been very good, you know, whether you know, Chef Steve was there prior, or Chef Mark was there prior, but it's always been good, and Cruz, it fits in really well with the part of it always being good, but, I mean, maybe I'm biased a little, but I think it's excellent right now, like, the tripe is excellent, you know, like.
Well, I bet it is.
It really is excellent. He fucks around some different things. He did swordfish the other day with some vegetables, vegetables from the market. But it was fucking great. He did this his version of like a warm bacon and spinach kind of salad with apples and cavallonero. He's really great. He's a great cook.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, Cruz is a great fucking guy, but I mean, it's like his. I mean, what he's doing there is great.
Well,
I mean,
Cruz Cruz actually is another one. He was working for Little Mario when Little Mario was at Del Posto, right? Cruz, wasn't Cruz under Little Mario?
Little Mario.
Mario Carbone.
I don't know how the hierarchy worked over there, but
well, I think it was Mark and then Mario. I may be wrong.
I don't know. I if you're saying so, I assume you're right.
No, that's not a good assumption at all.
Okay, then I don't know.
But
then,
the thing is, those guys had that training, and then they go off somewhere else. Like you've been to Teresi, right?
I haven't been to Teresi yet, and I actually saw Chef Carbone at Cesare's party yesterday. And I, you know,
I'd like to know why I wasn't invited. I mean, I had my bachelor party was tomorrow, so I couldn't.
You couldn't have gone anyway. You were wasted in White Plains.
Oh boy, let me tell you, if anyone ever found out the kind of nefarious doings that went on,
you're still sweating it out.
I'm still sweating it. It's like Fear and Loathing in, you know, Las Vegas or something. Do you know what the theme of my bachelor party was?
What was it?
Lamb chops, liquor, and lesbians.
I how were the chops?
Well, the lesbians were AWOL. I was thinking.
Well, you couldn't go anywhere with the lesbians anyway. So how were the chops?
Chops were delicious. They were those nice big Colorado chops, which I asked to be untrimmed. There's nothing worse than a French lamb chop.
Domestic chops are the way to go.
Oh yeah.
Where you guys buying your lamb, Chef?
Colorado. Yeah, it's good.
You still use Keith Martin at all? Mm-hmm. Elysian ones.
Every once in a while, mostly. Yeah.
Even Jimmy sweats the price sometimes.
But
place I like is Lucali on my house.
Lucali, yeah, I heard that's great.
It's awesome.
I heard it's great.
You've been there, right?
You know, I went there when it first opened. Now it's like Teresi that you can't go in. You know, the more you like it, the harder it is to go.
Yeah, they're a little finicky, but you can sit outside and have some wine and hang out and wait for your table. I live down the street, so you call in advance and say, hey, what's up?
That's how it is for me with Dom. I live near DeFara. I actually moved to the apartment to be near DeFara, and I can go in a little bit and kind of sort of get away with something. But
well, Jimmy's very big. He just says, I want a table.
No, yeah, I just drink a lot of wine outside waiting for the table. That's cool.
Give me my table. Jimmy's he can be very intimidating.
That pizza was sort of conceived as a Dom tribute pie, and I think you were saying something before about how much you like the calzone.
Yeah, the calzones are awesome.
I bet it's just like the Dom calzone, where it's a whole pie shell, and it's like this.
Yeah.
With the little cuts, the little ridges on them, and everything.
Yep.
That restaurant is like a tribute to DeFara, essentially. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. It's great.
It's so good. And now they're opening another one. Is that true?
Supposedly it's been on the board for a year, I think. So
yeah, no one knows what's going to happen with that. By the way, if you want to call in, there's not much time left, but on the Mr. Cutlet Show on the Heritage Radio Network, but it's 718-497-2128 is the number, and we're brought to you by Fairway, the greatest market in the world. I will take Fairway over Harrods, the gum store, and any other place you could name.
Over Harrods, yeah. I mean, that's just a size differential, too. I mean,
Well, whatever.
It's a big thing.
Maybe Harrods is not what I'm thinking of.
I understand what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying.
I do. Doctor. It's a great market.
No, while we're on the subject of...
Good hanger steaks.
Good hanger steaks.
Yeah, I get them every week.
Well, at Fairway?
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, the meat program at Fairway, forget about it. But while we were on the subject of... there's two things that came to mind. I don't want to monopolize the mic, but we were talking about places that is good, that have talented people doing their thing, and they're kind of off the radar. You gave the example of Cruz Goler
at Lupa, yeah.
At Lupa, also the guy Mark Iacono. He's actually very celebrated, but there was somebody else you mentioned. I forgot already. We talked about Kevin Garcia. This young guy named Jeremy Spector has a place called the Brindle Room in the East Village on East 10th Street. And he's really doing a nice restaurant. Like, it's really good food, you know? Better than it has to be, and, like, interesting, and, like...
Where? The Brindle Room.
10th and what?
I feel like I've heard of it.
10th, close to A. Between 1st and A, but closer to A. And nobody's paying any attention to him. I think they should pay attention to him. I think he's good.
I mean, if he's knocking out of the park, I think it's a matter of time before he gets something.
I hope so. I mean, it's Robin and Robin's neighborhood, so if they go there, then all will follow. My whole column about Teresi and Time, I'm sure, it never could have done a fraction for them as much as Robin Robbins' five-star review.
I saw Mark Ladner the other day, and you know, Chef was saying how it really did help them quite a bit.
Oh, those guys are, I mean, they you know, you go there at 3 and come back at 6, yeah.
Said they're already busy, but.
Well,
The B&G pepper spread is what I heard. Oh,
it's the other thing I was going to say. You were talking about this.
It really is true. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I've heard like several people talk about
Everything's
it.
Great. Everything's great. And the thing you were talking about, the CVAP oven, they got a use for CVAP that the CVAP engineers never could have dreamed. All the hundreds of years, centuries, maybe millennia that human beings have been eating turkeys, and always they're bad. I've seen them deep fried, smoked, stuffed with a duck. I mean, I've seen everything you could do to a turkey. Roasted, blackened, confit. I've even seen Peking turkey, which is kind of cool. And it's all sucks. But these guys got that CVAP oven. They figured out a way to make this turkey like. You never had turkey like this.
You guys have a CVAP?
No.
The CVAP guy and I go back a long way.
Do you have a CVAP?
Yeah, just for the...
I don't yet, actually. I did it at Atari. I don't yet.
Just for the audience...
What is he doing?
Just for the audience, we should say that the CVAP is a vapor oven. I don't know what the C is for.
I don't know.
It's an oven...
It's a vapor technology oven.
Yeah, it has humidity control. It's like a Schwitz, essentially.
Exactly. It imparts a humidity control, but with a partial degree of dry heat. So you can control the amount of right. dry heat, but it's always 100% humidity.
Right, and so that cooks food much more gently. Like, if you put a thing in the oven with dry heat, it browns, but it also sucks all the moisture out of it, which can be a good thing or not. Anyway, they have total control. It's basically sous vide without the bag. Essentially, a CVAP oven is like a sous vide that browns. And you don't have a bag. Like I just all the Von Gerichten places use that. Everything is CVAPs at the Jean George.
I heard they use quite a bit of them. I mean, I think the difference is you can't get to the degree
right
inside the protein the same way. It's a little the transfer
as the bag. Well, the bag is the bag is very precise.
I've never really messed with it too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I haven't messed with it at all.
Well, boys, we're about to wrap up, but I'd like to say one thing before we do. I hope you are aware of what's happening. We have Meatopia coming up on Governor's Island, July 11th. Go to meatopia.org. It's got everything you need to know about the Woodstock of edible animals. This is an immense event. BBQ NYC is the theme this year, and we're going to have some of the top barbecuers in the area. But not just barbecuers. We're going to have chefs. We have White. We got Joey Campanaro. Carmelini, Bobby Helen. I can't even remember. We have Jim Leakin from DBGB, and my gosh, Seamus Mullen from Boca Ria's doing whole animals and every kind of animal. There's going to be sleight of hand magicians. There's going to be a masterclass butcher demo, not just how to cut up a baby lamb, but how to break down a square cut chuck. Show me where, you know, like anybody's doing that at home. And also, it's Good Beer Month, so there's a whole thing with Six Point Beer Garden, and it all benefits Slow Food USA, which is exactly the sort of things we've been talking about, and Just Food. And go to meatopia.org to see it. I hope you guys will either cook there or come as my guest and be part of the beer, meat, heat, slow food community.
Thank you. I'm a worker, so like I said, I'll cook.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
I'll roll around in the mud a little bit, you know.
Jimmy's in the mud, yeah.
Well, guys, we've come to the end of another Mr. Cutlet show. You can see my work at ozersky.tv. You can see Meatopia at meatopia.org. And you can read me at Time every week. I'm Josh Ozersky, and this is the Mr. Cutlet Show.
Mr. Cutlets, Mr. Cutlets, when you swing around that pork chop.